Hey, Ness.
Hey, Em.
So it's Thanksgiving week, and I'm really excited about that. But what I really want to show your face right now is like the biggest smile.
I love Thanksgiving. I think it's the most underrated holiday. It's so much fun. There's so much good food, and the expectations are a lot lower. I feel like there's just less pressure in general.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Then like Chris, it's like almost the calm before the storm, even though when I was at the grocery store this morning, it was not calm.
Oh my God. The grocery store feels apocalyptic right now. Like people get so wild before holidays. And I think we were talking about this earlier this week, even like last week at the end of the week, people were getting really wild. And I don't understand why people are buying things that soon, because wouldn't it go like if you're buying something on Friday for Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, I feel like that's not going to be the freshest anymore.
Completely. Matt told me he wanted to get the green beans for green bean casserole on Monday. And I was like, I mean, Thanksgiving's Thursday. Like, why don't we get it Wednesday when there's going to be actual like super fresh, like crisp beans available?
Right. Very anxious. Thank you, Craig. Craig had to deliver me some water because I was sitting here in our closet just feeling very thirsty.
Hi, Craig. He's still behind you. Oh, you can't hear me.
Sorry, everyone, for that interruption. So Matt's very excited for his green bean casserole. He's like itching, like scratching at the bit to just like get those green beans.
Yeah, he loves them. And this is going to be the perfect episode. He's probably thrilled to edit this because he's going to learn all about green bean casserole and much, much more about the facts of foods for Thanksgiving and a whole lot of other fun facts about Thanksgiving foods.
Welcome to Wellness Myths. Today is our Thanksgiving episode. So we're going to be talking all about Thanksgiving dishes and just all kinds of things that come with Thanksgiving dinner, some pleasant, some not so pleasant. And hopefully we can give you some tools on how to combat the not so pleasant things. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Okay, so I was thinking about this earlier today because I was going to ask you about this. And mine has to be creamed corn. We make, like, it has a ton of coconut milk and coconut oil, lots of cornmeal and whole kernels of corn. And I make it every year without fail, so that the people that I celebrate Thanksgiving with, my friends in Portland, literally put corn dish on the Thanksgiving spreadsheet. And we're like, Emily, like, write your name there because everybody loves it so much. And so that's definitely one of my favorite ones. What about you?
You're going to have to make that for me because, I mean, corn is okay, but I can't say I'm ever like really excited about something that's mainly corn.
Yeah, it's like it's the cream part that takes it to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're putting cream in something, I mean, it's just kind of like a fail safe.
Yeah, hell yeah. There's also creamed spinach, another fabulous option. Ooh. Not really for Thanksgiving, but
I do like creamed spinach. I'm definitely stuffing. I mean, I love pretty much all Thanksgiving foods, but I feel like stuffing is something that you don't have any other time, which is kind of weird because you could make stuffing anytime. It's not like it's seasonal, but the only time I have it is on Thanksgiving and I love it.
Well, I just had to interject after that because I thought the same thing earlier. Like, I was thinking about how food can feel kind of scarce on Thanksgiving. Like, you're either, like, nervous you're not going to get enough of what you like, or you're nervous you're not going to make enough. It can kind of make you feel a little anxious about eating. And I was just, one of my tips was really that, like, you can always make more of the food. Like, you could make stuffing on the day after Thanksgiving if you wanted.
And I think it's really funny that we just don't even think about that. Like, it doesn't have to just be today.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you can eat it any day you want. And it's funny because it's similar with all principles of intuitive eating. Like, the day after Thanksgiving, if you were able to, like, get a full serving of stuffing, you probably are not, like, as desperate the next day. But it's really good to just assure ourselves and know that we have the option. You can make stuffing.
So, I mean, definitely keep the mindset of you can make it any day. And of course, you know, there might be some dishes that are nostalgic or maybe that a family member makes that you do only have once a year. And, you know, you really like the way that person prepares that dish. And absolutely, you know, take advantage of those dishes on the day or maybe ask them for the recipe so you can make it again. But yeah, there's no reason to feel that sense of scarcity and like you need to eat until you feel sick.
Yeah, totally. And we're going to get way into that a little bit further in our episode. But I want to talk about Thanksgiving foods first. And we're going to share some fun facts. Vanessa, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so I will start us off with, I think, the star of the show for those who are not vegan. Emily is obviously not going to talk about turkey because she's vegan, but I'll talk about turkey a little bit. And, you know, I always feel like I hear people say they don't even like turkey that much. They're in it for the sides. And I would have to say I feel kind of similar, but I still will have a little bit of turkey.
As a vegan, it's definitely a common thing to hear like, oh, well, I don't even like the turkey. So I'm with you, Emily. Everybody always says that.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? They're just saying that to your face.
Yeah, I know. That's so true. They're just trying to like relate to me. I'm like, no, not the same, bro.
So turkey is going to have lean protein, selenium, niacin, B6, phosphorus. So it's pretty nutrient rich. And it also contains an essential amino acid called tryptophan. So a lot of people think of turkey and making you sleepy. And tryptophan does promote good sleep and good mood. But if you feel super drowsy after your Thanksgiving meal, you can't blame the turkey solely. So yes, it contains a little bit of tryptophan, but one serving of turkey only has about 200 milligrams of tryptophan. And someone who was, you know, taking tryptophan therapeutically to promote sleep would take about 5 grams in order to do that successfully. So you'd have to eat a lot of turkey to, you know, get those full effects of the tryptophan. So if it's not the turkey.
So that's like what you're telling me is the biggest Thanksgiving myth is that turkey makes you exhausted.
Yeah, it's a pretty big myth. I mean, you know, it might be contributing a little bit, but it's a myriad of things. And so you're not wrong or making it up that you might feel drowsy after your dinner, but you can't just blame that turkey. So what is making you feel so drowsy? So the combination of a pretty carb-heavy meal eaten sometimes really quickly, sometimes over it eating, and sometimes saving that to be your only meal of the day is a reason why you're feeling so drowsy. So, you know, you have this super carb heavy meal, you are sending your blood sugar super high, and then it's crashing, which can result in fatigue and drowsy. And we can't discount the fact either that Thanksgiving is in November. And if you live in, you know, a northern region, it's usually pretty cold, might be dark. It's kind of like that cozy season. So it's not unusual or weird to feel sleepy, and there's a reason that you're feeling sleepy. So if you don't want to feel drowsy, what should you do? There's a lot of different things you can do. And you know what? I just want to say right here, if you are fine, if you want to eat your meal and like taking a nap is what you want to do on Thanksgiving Day, have at it. It's one day. It's fine. You can do that. But if you hate that drowsy feeling, some tips to combat that is number one, don't skip meals before you get to Thanksgiving dinner. If you're going to eat at 5 p.m. and that's going to be the first meal that you've eaten all day, I mean, you're not doing your body any benefits by starving yourself the whole day. But I mean, that's a really intense blood sugar spike if you're not eating till 5 p.m. Slow down, eat slowly, savor all those foods that you love. Go for a walk after dinner. So exercise can help bring your blood sugar down. So you'll have, you know, a less intense crash. And if you're looking to not feel drowsy, maybe don't participate in the biggest bar night of the year, which we all know is the night before Thanksgiving. I personally have gotten to the point in my life where I've decided I'm giving that up. Obviously, we couldn't do it last year in 2020 because of COVID. But you know, this year I was thinking about that and I just have no interest. How do you feel about that?
Oh, wow. Well, since I'm not home the night before Thanksgiving, like in my hometown, because I kind of set the precedent with my family that I don't come home for Thanksgiving because it's like so short. I just come home a long time for Christmas. So it's not like that whole, oh my God, I'm with all my friends from back in the day and I'm going to go out and like see people that it's embarrassing for me to see and like a whole event. Like I feel like it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. So I never really engage in it, but I'm surprised that y'all aren't going to go out this year for them.
Yeah, no, I'm just, I don't know. I think I've kind of lost interest in it, but I just think it's kind of funny too. Like if you're going out the night before Thanksgiving and staying out till 2 a.m. and consuming copious amounts of alcohol, don't come to me and be like, why am I so drowsy after Thanksgiving dinner? Like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, that's just you've done that to yourself.
Right, right. So if you're looking to, you know, be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you can just go ahead and skip over that. Or maybe go out with your friends still, just come home at a reasonable time and maybe, you know, keep the drinks to a minimum.
The basics.
So again, you cannot blame turkey solely for your drowsiness after your Thanksgiving meal. Again, it might contribute, but it's not the sole reason. If you are vegetarian or vegan and you're looking for a turkey alternative, can you tell us any good turkey alternatives that you've had?
Yeah, so there's a ton of brands at the store that make little roasts, like field roast or Gardein or the classic tofurkey that everyone is familiar with. But I just want to say, really, aside from even just the brands, that if you're making a main dish for your Thanksgiving and you're not having turkey, make sure that it's something that has protein in it. So many years I see like roasted cauliflower turkeys and I'm like, no, that's not it. Like you need something with protein in it. So you need something with seitan or tofu or tempeh or beans. Sometimes my family will do like squash cups with rice and lentils in them. And so that's kind of like where we'll get the protein. But you just want to make sure that you have that key component at your meal, if possible, to support your health and to help you feel full and keep that blood sugar in check.
And I mean, I love cauliflower as much as the next gal, but can we just stop making it things that it's not? Like cauliflower is cauliflower and it's great, but it's not a turkey alternative. Like, come on.
That's very crazy. Surely is not. It's not.
All right. So I want to talk about stuffing next, which, as we already talked about, is my personal favorite. It's often demonized because it's bread and people hate bread and they just love to talk about how bad bread is. And listen, unless you're gluten-free or you have a wheat intolerance or you're somehow allergic to something in bread, like, I don't want to hear it. If you're telling me you don't like the taste of bread, I just don't believe you.
You're lying. You're lying. I don't know anyone.
You're straight up lying. So this was really interesting, and I did not know this about stuffing, but there's actually a really cool benefit to stuffing in general that comes from tearing the bread apart. So this, you know, bread, of course, is rich in fiber. So depending on what bread you're using for the stuffing, it could have varying amounts of fiber. And then, of course, B vitamins as well, which are great for. But the special thing about stuffing is there is an antioxidant called pronolysine. And it is activated by baking the bread and by tearing it apart. More is produced. And this is an awesome antioxidant. It's has shown to prevent cancer. And I was just like absolutely pumped to see that stuffing actually has this like really cool individual characteristic about it that makes it really good for you.
That's super interesting. And I would never have known that otherwise. I'm so glad you mentioned this.
So the antioxidant, too, is 8 times more abundant in the crust than it is in the crumb. So something to think about. I mean, of course, if you don't like the crust on your bread for the stuffing, take it off if you don't like it. But if you leave it on, there's definitely a big benefit to that. And then my last food that I wanted to touch on before Emily gets to hers are Brussels sprouts, which are another favorite for me. And I know, I don't know if everyone has Brussels sprouts on Thanksgiving. I think most people do. It's a Thanksgiving dish, right?
Yeah, I feel like I never do, but I know I see recipes every year that float around for Thanksgiving Brussels. So I think it counts.
And I actually just saw a recipe that had, it was like a Brussels, it was Brussels sprouts with a pomegranate glaze. And
I just knew you were
going to
say pomegranate. I knew you were going to say pomegranate. Like, I feel like, yes, I for some reason just knew that. Yeah.
I also love pomegranates, but I mean, I feel like I've talked to you about this before, Emily, and I don't know if you agree with me. There's like 1 second before pomegranates start tasting like nail polish remover. And it's just, they have a short life. I love them, but it's dicey.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you like open up a little container of seeds, like from Trader Joe's, you have like 30 minutes to eat them. And then exactly. It's acetone from there.
They're just looking to go bad. Yeah. But anyway, back to the Brussels sprouts. So Brussels sprouts are a cruciferous veggie, and they're a good source of fiber and potassium, vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin K, folate. So they're packed with nutrients. And research shows that cruciferous veggies may help protect against cancer and cardiovascular disease and reduce oxidative stress. Brussels sprouts and other cruciferous veggies also contain DIM, so that helps with estrogen metabolism. So especially if you're someone who has really heavy periods, or you might think that you have estrogen excess, Brussels sprouts are a great dish to help out with that.
That's so cool. That's another fact that I didn't know.
Just filled with the fun facts today.
So before I even get into the foods that I want to talk about, I just want to have this general idea that Thanksgiving is filled with a bunch of really unhealthy, like heavy dishes that are just going to like, you know, really bring you down and ruin your health. Like, I feel like that's kind of the narrative, when in reality, most Thanksgiving foods are centered around vegetables, like green bean casserole, mashed potatoes, even stuffing usually has like some celery or carrot in it. And so I really just want that myth to go away, and do not want anyone to let diet culture swindle you into thinking that Thanksgiving foods are inherently unhealthy for you.
And I think it's really important to remember right now too, is that a lot of people think if we add other foods to veggies, like if we add a cream or a fat to veggies, they're no longer healthy. And I just want you to remember, the veggie is still the veggie. It still has all the nutrients that it did before. So if you eat your Brussels sprouts and you like them, you know, covered in butter with Parmesan cheese and bacon in them, yes, you added significantly more fat to the Brussels sprouts, but the Brussels sprouts still have, you know, the excellent nutrition that they did when they were just plain.
Totally. And also, how about the fact that we need fat to absorb a lot of the vitamins found in these vegetables? So in fact, it's almost really important to at least have some fat in them. So speaking of fun facts regarding the preparation of food, mashed potatoes. Okay, this is probably my second favorite dish, but that's, mashed potatoes is just my second favorite dish constantly, like on any day, not just Thanksgiving. So that's why I didn't really think about it. Mashed potatoes are a great source of vitamin C and potassium, but something that I don't think most people will know is that vitamin C specifically is a water-soluble vitamin, which means that when you boil your potatoes, you're actually going to get a little bit of leaching of the vitamin C. So boiling a potato will inherently give it less vitamin C than if you were to, say, roast the potato. It doesn't mean there's absolutely no benefits to your potatoes anymore after you boil them, but I just think it's kind of like one of those facts that people don't really know regarding food prep. So I wanted to just throw that out there.
I'm going to ask you now too, because I'm curious, are you somebody who likes a peeled mashed potato, or do you like the skin in there?
Oh, peeled 100%, because I remember growing up and we would get mashed potatoes from Applebee's and they always had the skin in them, and I found it disgusting. So no, I'll never eat skin potatoes again. No. But I bet you like the skin.
100%. You know I do. Yeah. You know,
oh, God, you're disgusting. No, I like mine pure white, mashed potatoes, sour cream, cream cheese, anything like that. That's
all the fixings.
My alley. Yep. And then shout out to green bean casserole, which I think is Matt's favorite dish. We like hyped it up in the beginning like it was, and I think it is. Green bean casserole, great source of vitamin K and C. It's a good source of fiber, right? Keeping your digestion regular on the day of Thanksgiving. And also, a fun fact about green beans is one cup is a third of your daily folate needs, which if you're trying to conceive right now is really important. So if you're trying to get that Christmas baby, make sure that you're eating your green beans because folate is really important nutrient for conception. We talked a lot about blood sugar control in this episode, and I just want to touch also that a benefit of potatoes is that they contain resistant starch. This starch is not broken down to be fully absorbed by the body, and it becomes a source of nutrients for beneficial bacteria in your gut. This type of starch can improve blood sugar control. So that's another reason to make sure you're getting your mashed potatoes in.
And I also just want to say, as someone who's team white potato versus team sweet potato, and sweet potato is obviously something that's consumed on Thanksgiving a lot. And sweet potato is great, but can we just not get it twisted? Sweet potatoes are not better for you.
No, people really like, I love whatever PR team sweet potato has that literally like amps it up. Like you could make sweet potatoes with peanut butter and chocolate. I saw that today, which I'm like, that's no, I don't want to do that. But anyways, and then it's like at the same time, you're thinking, oh, it's just potatoes. It's a white food. It's so weak. It's literally really similar to each other.
Yeah. I mean, really, the only difference is that sweet potato is going to have vitamin A.
Yep. Exactly. That orange color.
So, yeah. So just all you sweet potato people, you just relax. Okay.
Well, I'm you're not superior. Yeah, you're not superior just because you prefer your sweet potato, but enjoy.
Right. Don't be looking down at other people's plates.
No, absolutely not. And my last food is cranberry sauce. I have kind of mixed feelings about cranberry sauce. It's not like my favorite. I'm sure you don't like it because it has like a tablespoon of sugar in it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, but I do love cranberries themselves, which if you've had a raw cranberry, they're like very bitter. So they're right up my alley.
Yeah, right up your alley, yes. I like it in like a sangria, okay, after it's been marinating for like 2 days. So cranberries are a great fall food in winter. There's 4 grams of fiber in 1 cup of cranberries, which is great. They're high in anthocyanins, and those are actually the compounds that give cranberries the dark red color. And studies have shown that anthocyanins have anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory effects. I also just wanted to touch on the idea that cranberry juice can help with urinary tract health. And this is usually used as more of a preventative. And what's in cranberry juice that helps with urinary tract health is an A-type proanthocyanidin, PAC, that can prevent bacteria from sticking to the bladder wall. And they do make this in a supplement form if you're not trying to like down a lot of cranberry juice all the time to reap these benefits. You don't have to. But I just thought that was really interesting.
And I think that's something important, too, that, you know, for something like cranberries, if you are looking to cranberries to help, you know, prevent UTIs or something like that, it is something that it can help, but it's more of a dose related effect. So like Emily said, they make some really good supplements. I mean, you would be having to eat a lot of cranberry to get the effects you're looking for.
Totally. And at that point, I don't want to see anyone downing like 60 grams of sugar in juice because they're convinced it's going to help with UTIs.
Right.
And then, of course, I have just a few comments to leave you with. We've been kind of talking about the way you eat on Thanksgiving this whole episode and how to avoid overeating. And I just wanted to mention that just because there's a lot of narrative floating around social media that doesn't really include the nuance about overeating. And we talk about like, oh, it's one day. Who cares? Go crazy. Eat whatever you want, you know? And that stuff is all very true. But I had a client a while ago and she would just talk about the pressure to eat. And she was like, basically, I'm on this journey where I'm trying not to restrict anymore. You know, I'm feeling good. It's not bothering me. But I'm feeling pressure because it's just this one day and it's a holiday that I have to binge. Like I didn't have a good Thanksgiving unless I was like flattened on the couch, super full. And that might be true for you. Maybe that is like your personal goal, but you definitely don't have to engage in that in foods with the goal to feel overfull. You don't have to eat dessert just because it's a holiday. You can take a piece of pumpkin pie home, no big deal. So the pressure kind of goes both ways, right? To not eat too much, to maybe eat more than we want to. So just having grace for yourself. It's pretty normal to overindulge on a holiday or to have some anxious feelings about it, whether it's food, whether it's alcohol. So just giving yourself that grace that you don't have to be perfect and one day is not going to derail your entire health goals.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. You don't have to do anything just because people are saying you need to do it. So if someone is commenting like, oh, you don't have enough on your plate or something, I mean, like how much you're eating has nothing to do with them. So disregard all comments like that. And I also feel like we should normalize. I mean, I think most families are like having other family members take stuff home, but I mean, you really should, especially if you don't have room for dessert, or even if you do have room for dessert and there, you know, you're like, you really like it, you're going to want it later. I feel like there's always leftover desserts, and just ask if you can take some home. There's no reason you should like stuff yourself just because you're worried you're never going to get it again.
Absolutely. Yes, that's a great tip. And really about, you know, plate comments, just don't do it. Like just, you don't need to mention what other people are eating. And oh my God, as a vegan person, I just wish people would understand this. Luckily, well, not luckily, but due to my own planning and intention, my celebration is usually just vegan food. But, you know, it is really tough when you're eating in a way that's different from other people around you to feel comfortable. And so if someone has a different eating pattern or habit style than you, you can just leave them alone. It's totally easy. You just say nothing. You put your own food on your plate. You sit down and you talk about something else. I want to say something else. I'm like, literally, I start to like rage. I'm like, thank God I have therapy in 20 minutes. Okay, let me think about this. I want to say something. And in addition to plate comments, body comments, I mean, that can really go sideways.
Yeah. And I think especially with, you know, last year being a pandemic and, well, it's still a pandemic, but last year not seeing our families, or a lot of us weren't seeing our families around Thanksgiving time. So this year might be the first time that people see some other family members in a really long time. And I think that is a breeding ground for comments of how people look, especially if they've changed over the last year or 2 years. So, Emily, can you leave us with some tips for, you know, if people are making comments on your body, or and also, I should say, if you see a family member, if you do immediately think, you know, you notice something about their body, instead of commenting on that, like another comment you could say.
Definitely. Yeah, I think we're all guilty of this, definitely in our heads. We just want to make sure that those comments and thoughts kind of stay there and don't leave our mouths. You know, if you notice that someone's looking different in whatever way you deem it to be positive or negative, just keeping that to yourself and instead inquiring how they're actually feeling and doing. Maybe you're seeing a family member that has lost a ton of weight and your knee-jerk reaction is to be like, oh my God, like you're looking so thin, or you're looking so healthy, or you're looking this and this. And the problem is, even if that comment is well-intentioned, it's still highlighting the body. And basically you're sending the message, hey, your body's really important to me. And thank God you're thin. Thank God you're looking what I believe is healthy. And so the comment can really do harm. Sometimes kind of inquiring about how the person's doing is going to fill that question that you have. You know, if you're asking after someone how they're doing and then they say, oh, I'm so stressed, I can barely keep any food down, et cetera. You know, that kind of information is what's going to help you relate to them and understand them more than if you were just to make an unsolicited body comment. And
I think that in particular is so important. And I always think of, so I did this once. It was a friend, and I commented, I had noticed that it looked like she lost weight. And I had made a comment, something about like, oh, did you lose weight? You look great. And she was like, yes, I did lose weight, but I'm not great. Like, I'm horrible. Like, aww. I lost weight because I'm horrible. And sad. I always think of that. And I'm so glad she told me. And we have that, you know, close relationship where she would, you know, just tell me how she was feeling. But especially with, you know, maybe a family member that you're not as close with, or, you know, a friend that you're not as close with, they're not going to lay that out and give you the opportunity to say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, I did not, that's not the way it meant it. And I shouldn't have said that. You don't always get that chance.
Yeah. And like you said, your intentions are so pure with it, where you want to be like, oh, cool. Like, this must be intentional. And we as a society value thinness over everything else. And so it's just like, oh, well, we automatically assume things are great. And sometimes, you know, we give that comment to someone, and like you said, we don't have that opportunity to kind of walk it back and like be checked like that. And, you know, then we're just stuck affirming someone's eating disorder, or, you know, their stress response basically to a really tough situation. And that's a really good point. And hold on.
So what should you say if someone makes a comment about you, about your weight or your body? I've actually recently had someone make comments about my body, and I don't really weigh myself very often, not even because it's like super triggering to me or anything like that. I just don't. Like, if I go to the doctor, I'll look at my weight, but it's just like not something that I monitor. And I've had people both say like, oh, have you gained weight? And people say, oh, have you lost weight? And it's really awkward to respond to. And especially for me, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so.
You're like, should I be concerned about something?
Right. Yeah. Like, I guess I look different to you, but I don't know. Like, how should you respond to that?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways that you can do it. If you're feeling already overwhelmed with your family on the holidays, which you very likely are, you can just kind of ignore it and step away. You can just kind of, you know, remove yourself from the situation. This applies definitely if you're coming up on a conversation where people are like discussing diets or discussing weight, whatever. If it's possible, you can just remove yourself, right? You don't need to be like the advocate for anti-diet culture and the advocate for intuitive eating or healthy relationship with your body all the time, right? You don't need to carry that weight at the holidays. I don't even feel like that, and it's my literal job. You're not always in a place where you're able to advocate in that way. So that's kind of option one, is ignoring it. Option two is letting them know, hey, I'm not really focusing on my body and how it looks right now. I'm much more focused on how I feel. How are you doing lately? Right. Or just letting them know that I'm not comfortable talking about that. I don't want to talk about that. Oh, actually, let's bring something else up, and then changing the subject in that way. So really, it just depends how clear of boundaries you want to draw. The clearer, the better, always. You know, I just don't know how realistic it is. So I wanted to give you kind of a few different options in case you don't want to like start a fight at your holiday table. But hopefully people will just respect what you have to say and move on. And if they don't, then maybe you send them some resources like this podcast their way, and they can spend some time educating themselves, that you don't have to carry that burden.
And if you are a dietitian listening to this podcast, as you go on to Thanksgiving dinner, Godspeed. Godspeed to you.
Godspeed.
And if you have a dietitian coming to your Thanksgiving dinner, please leave us alone.
Yes,
like,
please.
Please don't look at our plate and try to build your plate off of ours or ask us anything work related. Please remember that we do love nutrition, but it's a holiday for us too, and it's our job. So we might just not want to talk about food for one day, and we just want to enjoy it.
On that note, happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners, and we will see you next week to do a deep dive into the body comment topic.
And please reach out to us if you had a tough Thanksgiving dinner and you need some advice. We're here for you.
Absolutely.